Good morning. We'll learn Le'ilui Nishmas Sadia ben Shalom HaKohen. First of all, just to correct from yesterday, we were talking about the issue of the wave and the Rosh and the Kippah of the wave. So I took a closer look, first of all, in Rashi and Chagiga Yates, where this also appears, but also in the Shulchan Aruch and Sekelim there, it's in Yeredeya Reish Aleph. I gave you the references there on the top. And I do agree with Harold in the end that Rosh must be the part of the wave that is in contact with the ground when it actually strikes the ground, and Kippah has to be the top of the wave that's in the air, but it's the water part of it. It's not putting it through, but it's actually putting it in the water. I think that's what emerges when you look at it. Unlike what I suggested with the airspace, I think they're both water tevilos, and the point is that we want to distinguish between tevilah in something that is connected to the ground and tevilah in something that is not connected to the ground. And we're viewing the kippah part, the arch part of it, as being separate from the ground until the moment when the end hits the ground. When I guess what we're suggesting is that the curve disappears. Effectively, they're not. The case in which it's still curved and yet the end is hitting the ground already, I think doesn't exist for their purposes. Once part of it hits the ground, it's all considered to be mechubar. It's all considered to be part of it. That's what it sounds like from the language. Okay, we are on the last line of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis 31b, Omar Rava. Finishing up the discussion about Kavana, about intent, where we said that we already stated two rules, and what we're going to do now is throw them against each other, basically. One rule that we stated is that in order for Shechita to be valid, you require or don't require Kavana. There's a machlokas, whether you require intent or not. Do you have to intend to shech? That's number one. And number two, we said that if you do malacha while you are shechting the para aduma, as part of the shechita act, you do some separate malacha, you've now disqualified the para aduma. So we're going to combine the two of those. Amar Rava, shachat para v'shachat behema acheres ima. If you shecht the para aduma, and along with that, you also shecht another animal as part of your shechita act. Remember, we've talked about not shechting two animals at the same time with kachim. The other animal was, as we'll see, not necessarily kachim. So if you shecht para, if you shecht the para duma, and along with that, during your shechita act, you shecht another animal, l'divrei akol psula. Everyone is going to agree that the para aduma is going to be disqualified. That's the idea. Correct. You did it as an act of shechita. It was entirely intentional. Nishchata behema acheres ima. Whereas if you shechted the para aduma and along the way, by accident, it just happened, you ended up shechting another animal, it was completely unintentional, so now it's going to depend on your kavana. L'Rabbi Nassan para psula behema ksherah. According to Rabbi Nassan, the para aduma is no good, the other animal is good. Because Rabbi Nassan says, we're dealing with where the other animal is chulin, is not a karban. So Rabbi Nassan will tell you, the other animal is going to be kasher, because I don't need kavana when I shecht chulin. I don't need intent. Since the other animal shechita is ksheira, that means I did other malacha while I was shechting the paraduma, therefore the paraduma is no good. Whereas l'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, they say you need kavana even when you shecht chulin. Therefore, what you did with the other animal was no good, and therefore the paraduma is still good. It was an ineffective malacha with the other animal. So l'Rabbanan para ksheira, behema psula. The para is all right. The behema is not all right. So that's what we say. So the Gemara says pshita. Well, I knew that. Is a logical extrapolation from the debate about whether you need kavana to shech chulin, and the rule that you can't shech the para aduma and do other malacha at the same time. He says, yes, but nishchata behema acheres Rabbi Nassan istrachale. You did need it within the view of Rabbi Nassan, that if you shecht another animal by accident while shechting the para aduma, the other one is good, it's just the para that's no good, I might have thought otherwise. Why? Salka deita chamina, I would have thought, vishachat osa, the Torah says, you shall shecht it regarding the para aduma. So, vishachat osa marachmana, velo osa v'chaverta, you shecht the para aduma only, and not the para aduma and something else. Vehechi dami, and what's the case? Kigon sheshachat shtei paros bahadei adadi. Maybe the disqualification would only be if you shechted two para adumas. Parot adumot, simultaneously. Avo behema dechul in emalo. But maybe if you shech the paraduma and another animal, but the other animal is chul, and maybe that won't disqualify the paraduma. In other words, maybe the rule that says that you can't do the paraduma and another malacha isn't really quite as general as we thought. Maybe it's only you can't shech the paraduma and shech another animal that is kachim, that is not just kachim, that is a paraduma, simultaneously, kamash malah, and therefore you needed to teach me it's not so. That Rabbi Nassan will say that if I shecht another animal and the shechita is kshera, then my paraduma is psula, regardless of the status of the whatever type of other animal it is. The presumably it would apply to a bird also. It doesn't make a difference.
The habbura would be by chulin only if it was a shechita b'lo kavana. But if I had a shechita with kavana with
No, because you're within Rabbi Nassan. You're within Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan would say if there is no kavana, it's kosher. Right.
But would it be a half a minute to say even with a kavana, would it be okay by chulin with a paraduma?
The havamina would have been yes. The havamina would have been yes.
Even with a kavana, is like a shechita on chulin.
Why not?
We're talking about there's a hesach hadas.
There's a hadas. I'm trying to cut. I'm a chavin la'usa malacha. It's the same cutting motion. It just happens to be there's an extra neck there. That's what I would. That's what I would look like. That's
the
way I would see.
Even on a kavana, I would have a half a minute.
Yes, I would think so. Chotach d'las ima, last point. Let's say I did a cutting action which was not a shechita. It was just there's something there to cut. There's a gourd there. Chotach d'las ima, divrei kol psula. Then everybody is going to agree that your para aduma is no good. Because you're doing other malacha and it's effective malacha at the same time. Nechtecha d'las ima, divrei kol kshera. If the gourd got cut on its own and you didn't realize that you were cutting something else, then kshera, then it's going to be, your paraduma is going to be kosher because you didn't intend to do a separate malacha. So that, interestingly, when it comes to shechita, we're willing to say that even though you didn't intend to shecht, that'll disqualify your paraduma. Even though I didn't intend to shecht the second creature, that will, assuming it's a valid shechita, disqualify my paraduma. When it comes to the gourd, we're saying if you didn't intend it, nothing happened. And your paraduma is going to be kshera. You see the difference? We're saying it regarding the shechita that its efficacy and is dependent on, or maybe dependent on kavana. But the point is, intent is what will do it, not necessarily so. I'm sorry, the other way around. We're saying with the shechita that even if you don't intend it, as long as the shechita is kshera, the paraduma is no good. When it comes to the gourd, you actually had to intend it. Interesting. Okay. I'm not entirely clear on why that's so. I had a thought, but I'm going to go fight to here.
Cutting the gourd is in itself meaningless, especially if there's no intent.
Tell it to the gourd.
What difference does it make?
Rashi says, hesach hadas, when you have an intent to cut something.
Yeah, but if I consider my hesach hadas, then if I don't intend to cut the animal's neck, it should be, and it's a valid shechita according to that view, it should also be puzzle.
Then you have a pasuk of by
shechita. I mean, even if it's not, I'm sorry, even if it's not a valid shechita.
But by shechita, you have a pasuk of shechita isai.
Right, so that's the question. Is this because of the unique pasuk? That was my thought, but I had nothing to base it on. So I wrote it in my notes and figured I wasn't going to say it. But that's the Barash
HaKivanti. Maybe even if you did it, that you don't have an Hesach Hadas.
Right, so the question still is, how is this a Hesach Hadas? I'm still not clear on why this is called a Hesach Hadas. Meaning you're doing it at the same time. I understand the Rashi uses the terminology, but I'm not clear on why this represents a Hesach Hadas. Okay. Let's see the Mishnah. It's going to introduce us to a whole new set of issues. Not that the first ones weren't interesting, but the issue of Shehiyah, we've already defined this a little bit earlier in the Gemara, but now we're going to see it in greater depth. The issue of Shehiyah is that when you shach, you can't pause. You do a slicing motion, and the slicing motion has to go straight through. You can't stop and then start. So the question the Mishnah addresses...
When you do Shia, you can't pause.
Correct.
Right?
The question is, what defines a pause? How long is pausing? And we would have thought pausing is easy to define, but remember, you don't have digital watches. It's not like you're going to tell them 5 seconds, 7 seconds, and it may be shechita dependent, as we're going to see.
We have like that type of concept already in halacha, so
So we'll say it's not going to be Shamalacha Rebbe. We're going to tie it into what Shechita is in and of itself. And then the question is, how closely will we tie it in? Will it be relevant? Will it be relative to this particular animal? Let's walk through it. The Mishnah says, Nafla Sakin v'higbiha. Knife fell. Okay, and you picked it up, not the knife that fell and did a shechita. We talked about that already. You're in the middle of doing the shechita, you drop the knife, and then you pick it up and you finish the shechita. Or, naflu kelav v'ig bihan. His garment fell off, or something he was holding in his pocket, whatever it was, I think it's his garment, fell off, and he picked it up and then finished the shechita. Hishchizes asakin, or before he did the shechita, he sharpened his knife, and the result is va'af. He got tired. Bachavero v'shachat, and along came somebody else and finished the shechita on his behalf. So in other words, he starts the shechita. He says, "Ah, I'm so tired," and somebody else comes along, grabs the knife, and finishes the job.
But he's trying to sharpen the knife before he started.
Before he started, correct. That's right. That's what made him tired, though. So the Tanakhama says, if you wait long enough that you could have done a shechita during the pause, then it's possible. Now, we still don't know what that means. A shechita of what? Because birds and animals require different lengths of time. So we have to talk about that. Psula. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Imsha Kedei Bikor. We saw Rabbi Shimon's view already a few weeks ago. Rabbi Shimon says that it's if you waited long enough to examine the knife. For a flaw. And we're going to talk about that already. Well, we've talked about it already. We're going to revisit that at the end of the sugya year. But that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know.
If you yourself continue, that's not shir. Only if your friend comes along?
No, even if
only says friend.
It didn't only. In the first cases, you did. Why? In the case where you dropped the knife from whatever.
You got tired. It says Bachaber. Why did you say you were tired, you rested, and then continued?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me so much. I understand, but it doesn't. Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference with who.
Correct. There is no distinction.
Is there a machloka between Rav Shimon and the other Dayo?
Yes.
Because the knives can also be different sizes.
That's probably what we have to discuss. So the Gemara asks, "My kedei shechita." When you say he paused long enough that he could have done a shechita during that gap in time, what exactly does that mean? So it's a machlokas. Amar Rav. Rav says, "Kedei shechitas behema acheres." The length of time such that you could have shechted another animal, but a behema specifically within that pause. That's the idea. Amar le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi. Amri le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav. Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi say to Rav. When you say that, do you mean if you're shechting cows, so it's cows? If you're shechting chickens, it's chickens. That's your definition of your gap in time. Or maybe not. Maybe it's the length of time it takes to shecht an animal, even if you're shechting a bird right now. And there's a fixed length of time, and it's not dependent on what you're engaged in.
And this today shechita is what was left to be shechted?
No, an entire act of shechita.
That's what we're excluding.
That's excluding. Omar Lahu, to which he replied, "Lo hava b'dichna beba chavive de ishaile." He said, "I wasn't comfortable asking chavivi." Chavivi is his uncle. His uncle is his double uncle. If you remember the Gemara in Pesachim, it's also in Sanhedrin. The Rabbi Chia was his father's brother and his mother's brother. So through half brother situations. So he calls him Chavivi. We call a regular uncle a dod, which is a beloved, but he's really beloved because he's a double uncle. So therefore, he's a Chavivi. So he says, "I wasn't comfortable asking him that question at the time. We didn't have such a great relationship at the time that I was learning this under him, and so therefore, I was intimidated. I didn't ask the question, so I don't know what Rabbi Chia would have said as to your question." But then Itmar, we learned Amar Rav. If it's not that Rav didn't have an opinion, he just didn't know what to tell them about Rabbi Chia's position. The Margolios Hayam, Rav Reuben Margolios, explains that we see elsewhere in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav Amud Beis that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi didn't need Rav's svara, his logic. They needed his Gemara. They needed what he had learned by tradition. Rav is that all-important chain between the Tanaim and Amoraim. He is the link. So they come to learn under him, not to learn his own Svara. They want to know, what did you hear from? So therefore, when Rav Kahana and Rav Asi ask Rav what the deal is, he says, "I don't have anything to give you." Even though he personally has a view, which we're about to see in the next line. So Amar Rav says, Kedesh Shechitas Behema LeBehema Va'Of La'Of. He says it is dependent on whatever you are shechting right now. That's what it's going to be. It's not to complete the Shechita. It's still an entire Shechita act. The Ushmuel Amar, and by the way, that's consistent with other Shehios in Halacha. For example, a Hefsek during davening. Right, we talk about Shah Kadeh Ligmor, long enough to finish whatever it is, but we generally assume that that means beginning to end. So in other words, a person who pauses in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, or in the middle of Shema, and they say, well, did he wait long enough that he could have finished Shema? It doesn't mean from where he is right now, such that the pause for a Hefsek in Vayomer is different from a pause earlier on. It's long enough to have said the whole thing. So we're doing the same thing here regarding Shechita. But Rav says it depends on what you're actually doing right now. Is this poultry or is this a cow? Ushmuel Amar Afilu Behema La'Of. Shmuel says no. He says it's the length of time it takes to shecht a behema. No, we didn't distinguish here at all between different types of behema. I mean, presumably it takes longer to shecht a cow than it does to shecht a goat. The neck is much thinner when you're dealing with a goat. That far we don't seem to go. He just says behema generically. Ravin comes from Eretz Yisrael. He cites Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that it's afilu behema la'of, a behema, regardless of what you're shechting right now, supporting Shmuel. So it's Rav versus Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. However, Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Chananya, depending on your edition, Amar Kedeshiyavi behema acheres v'yishchot. He says long enough that you could bring another behema and shecht. So it's a longer length of time. It's a behema, like Rav said. I don't care what you're shechting, but it's actually bring over another animal and shecht it. So he says, Yavi afilu me'alma? What does that mean? What if the animal is far away? Is that what you're talking about? Nasata d'varecha l'shiurin. That's a rallying cry. Don't give me shiurin that are so wildly dependent on circumstance. I have to find out where the nearest animal is in order to determine what my shehiya was. So Amar Rav Papa, no, Rav Papa explains, Omedes lahatil ika beinayu. What we mean is, there's an animal there, and all you have to do is knock it down and shecht it. The Rosh takes out the words ika beinayu, but ends up saying the same thing as Rashi in explaining the actual thing. In the Gemara, the Rav Papa is siding with the view of Rav, as is Rabbi Chanina. Amri b'ma Rav mishmei Rav Yosi Rav Chanina in Eretz Yisrael they quote Rav Yosi Rav Chanina saying k'deshi yagbihena v'yarbitzena v'yishchot, enough time to pick up the animal and sprawl it out in a position for shechita and shecht it. Daka ledaka v'gasa legasa, and he introduces for us the distinction between the smaller behema and a larger behema. In practice, this is a very interesting problem, because on the one hand you'll say it's Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, and when it's Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, first of all it's Rav versus Shmuel. And we're dealing with Isurei. So you're dealing with Isurim, you go with Rav over Shmuel. But then you have Rabbi Yochanan coming in on Shmuel's side. And we usually follow Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. However, here you have additional Amoraim who are taking the view of Rav that it's Behema and it's not dependent on what you're trying to shecht. So therefore, on that basis, Rashi says, I follow Rav. You go with that type of bria that you are shechting. And Tosus quotes the Bahag, who does that as well. But he notes that Rabbeinu Hananel says, no, you follow Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan over Rav. So it's a very interesting debate as to how we actually would paskin this. Okay. In practice, don't pause. Amar Rava. Rava says, well, wait a minute. This whole pausing thing is very interesting. Because you could have a really long shechita that doesn't involve an actual pause. Amar Rava, shochet besakin raw. He says, if you shecht with a dull knife, so you're slicing, and nothing's going anywhere. The afilu kalayom kulo kshera. Even if it takes you all day long, but you didn't pause, the shechita is going to be kosher. Because you're continuing to slice. Boy, Rava asks, Shehios Maushe Yitztarfu. What if there are multiple Shehios, and each one is less than the shear? So you cut, you pause, you cut, you pause, you cut, you pause. And what's the deal? The Vitiv Shalomi Didei. So the Gemara says, well, you said that the dull knife was good, so this should be good also. Who cares how long it takes? Yeah, but Hasam Bedelo Shah, that's why you didn't pause at all. Well, you paused, maybe I would argue that the pauses do combine. By Rav Huna, Breder of Nasan, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan, asks, Shah b'miut simanim mahu. We already talked about this with Chalada, right? Hechle b'miut simanim? Right? With a miut simanim, we have to define. Literally, it means the minority of the simanim. And we had the same Rashi tells us, it's back on Lamed Amid Beis, not so long ago. So, shav miut simanim, according to Rashi, means I cut the majority of what I was supposed to cut, which theoretically is sufficient already for the shechita to be valid, and then I paused before finishing it. Rabbeinu Oshaya, who we saw back in Tosfos Daf Lamed Amud Beis, explains that you did the majority, like Rashi says, and now you're using a dull knife. He says it's combined with the previous question about dull knives. And so the question is, whether use of that dull knife, which takes forever to finish the job, constitutes Shehiyah. Tosfos disagrees wholeheartedly with this, because he says, once you cut the majority, you're done. You don't even need to finish the job. Why would I care what happens later on? So Rabbeinu Tam says that it was Shehiyah during the first miut, meaning you cut the minority, and then you paused, and then you finished. The problem with that approach is, well, why isn't that just a standard case of Shehiyah? What's your novelty?
If you cut the minority, then you pause. Don't you get into the Tzar Bala Chaim situation?
Yeah, but it won't necessarily disqualify the Shechita. Even though you shouldn't do it, it doesn't necessarily render the Shechita possible. The Batosus' his answer is a very strange answer, because if it's during the first meal, the answer is puzzle.
You did part of it was the esophagus.
Yeah.
You made it a trachea. If it was the trachea, it doesn't mean anything. You haven't made it start again.
Say it again. You
it
did
the trachea. If you did part
yeah.
of it,
yeah.
and you paused.
Yeah.
The trachea, yeah, nothing's happened.
Right.
You haven't really done anything yet, so it's a proper shechita.
Right.
If it's the esophagus, do a little neck and you pause.
Do you want to argue that since had you stopped, it wouldn't have been anything? Well, in that case, when is Shehiyah going to be a disqualifier?
Right, so I don't understand what it means.
Unless you're at the 50-50 point. Once you take, if you take both sides, then you're stuck. Then we've eliminated Shehiyah, which isn't such a bad thing, but yeah. And going with Rashi, that you already did the majority, the answer may be, since you're doing this as part of your Shechita act, with Shechita intent, that's what renders it no good. So the Gemara answers, Teku. In any case, which Rashi says always is Lahachmir when you're dealing with Yisurim. Rabbi Shimon said, it's long enough to examine the knife. So we already saw this. The Gemara debated this already, but we go through it here. Rav Shimon Omer Mishah Kedei Bikur, Mai Kedei Bikur. What is the length of time to examine the knife? So Amar Yochanan Kedei Bikur Shal Chacham, long enough to go check with the Chacham to get his approval of the knife. Imk Nasata Devarach LeShiur, and once again with our rallying cry. But wait a minute, then it's open for interpretation. It depends on where the Chacham is. Ella Kedei Bikur Tabach Chacham. Rather, it means where the Shochet himself is an expert and is doing the checking himself. You check in the beginning of the day with the Chacham to honor the Chacham, but then after that, the checking in the course of the day, you don't keep going back to him. If the Shochet knows what he's doing, he's able to check it on the scene. That's the idea. Tosfos adds in that we're talking about a knife that's appropriate for that type of animal with the appropriate length. It doesn't mean, the random knives that may be out there. The Maharam explains, because otherwise, again, you walk into Nasata Varecha Lashirin. Right? Again, who's going to say what type of knife you're talking about? So therefore, it means a knife appropriate for that type of animal with the appropriate length. Okay. New Mishnah.
Rambam says it's not the knife, it's the behemoth itself.
The beaker of the behemoth?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. Okay. Thank you. He's quoting Perush Mishnayos, or he's quoting Mishnah Torah?
Mishnah Perush.
So yes, Perush Mishnayos. Okay, thank you. Good. The next Mishnah deals with other disqualifications in the act of Shechita. The case is this. Shachat es haveshet, upasak es hagargeres. You cut the esophagus, but you split the trachea. Pasak means it wasn't a Shechita act. You did it inappropriately. Or the other way around. You split the trachea, and then you did a proper shechita on the esophagus. Or you shechted one of the vessels, whichever one it was, trachea or esophagus, but then didn't do the other one at all. And the animal died. Or you cut one, and then you did chalada, you poked the knife underneath the other one, and you split it. Rabbi Yesheva of Omer Nevela. Rabbi Yesheva says, this animal is not kosher, and everybody's going to agree it's not kosher. That wasn't our question. But he says, it's a Nevela. And being a Nevela means that it is Tameh. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer Treifa. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this animal is a Treifa, but it's going to be Tahor. The Rashash explains Rabbi Akiva's rationale is, since you cut one of them properly, you did an act which would count for birds. And based on that, we say, okay, at least it'll be a Treifa rather than an Avela. We treat it as an animal that was mortally wounded and died, and therefore it's going to be Tahor. That's the difference between Nevela and Treifa for our practical purposes. That's Rabbi Akiva's logic.
In other words, if it's invalid, if it were an act of Shechita...
That's the next line. Klal Amar Rabbi Yesheva Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yesheva gives us a rule in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Kol Shenifsala B'Shechita Sa Nevela. If the Shechita was no good, then it's an Avela. Kol Sheshechita Sa Karaui. But if you did a proper act of Shechita, V'davar Acher Garam Lali Pasel, and then something else made it no good, then it's a Treifa. So if you, in this case, in our cases here, you didn't do a proper act of Shechita because you didn't cut the vessels the way you were supposed to cut them. Therefore, I say, these are Nevela. As opposed to, you shechted the animal, and you discovered then the animal actually died from, or had a wound that would have killed it from whatever, that's a treifa. V'hodala Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, you know, that's, you're right, I agree with you. Rashi does something odd here, I didn't see anybody who commented on it. Rashi feels the need to explain to us that Rabbi Yesheva, he says, is Shem Chacham. The Bechedu B'Divrei Hayamim, he even gives you another use of that Gabe Mishmaros by the Mishmaros Kahuna. You remember it from the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. Mishmaros Yeshevav is one of those that's listed in the Kina that lists the different Mishmaros. Why Rashi feels the name, I mean, it's true, he's a rare Tana, but he's not that rare. And there are plenty of times where Rashi doesn't go to that length to do this. I'm not clear why Rashi felt the need to he does it sometimes, like Kedi, he tells you, but there it's because Kedi could also be an Aramaic word meaning nothing. So you want to explain who Kedi is, that it's actually a person. I'm not sure why he felt the need to do this here.
This is also mentioned among the Asari Horigi Malchus.
Is he? That I didn't remember. It doesn't mean it's not so, I just don't remember it. I just remember him being one of the Mishmaros. Okay, so that's the ruling of Rabbi Yesheva. The only thing I can think of is that based on the fact that his Dibur Maschal doesn't include the word Rabbi, I wonder if his edition just said Yesheva, and therefore he felt the need to explain it, like with Kedi, where it doesn't say Rabbi, and therefore he needs to explain it. Maybe that's why. In any case, that's our debate in the Mishnah, which ends up not being a debate. In the end, they go home hand in hand. The statement is, if the shechita is no good, because the act was no good, it's an avela. Otherwise, it's a treifa. So the Gemara wants a little bit more explanation on that. Shachadas haveshet v'hodelo Rabbi Akiva. They quote our Mishnah. It's the bottom line on Amud Beis Amud Aleph. V'rimini, the Gemara asks, well, wait a minute. According to you, that Rabbi Yesheva and Rabbi Akiva agree, I now have a problem with the opening line in our next perek. Elu trefos v'behema, the Mishnah is going to say. The following are the trefos in an animal. Nikubas haveshet, if it has a punctured esophagus. Upsukas hagargeres, and a split trachea. And that's the one that's going to... This my concern is that you're telling me these are trefos. In the case where it has a punctured veshet, it's a trefa. In the case in which it's psukas hagargeres, it's also going to be a trefa. But you told me here, right, pasukas hagargeres is a nevela. Right? If you split the gargeres, that means that you didn't do a proper act of shechita. So it should be a nevela, not a trefa. Who is the author of that Mishnah that's coming up in Perek Gimel? That's my challenge. Tosfos notes, an animal theoretically could be a nevela and a trefa. Based on the Gemara that we're going to see later on, it could actually be both, with liability for both. But then it should have said it's a nevela, because that would be the Iker disqualification, because that includes Tumah. In other words, a trefa that you end up shechting improperly could actually be tvela, trefa and nevela. You'll see it based on it's based on the sugi that we haven't seen yet, but coming up in another few days.
Isn't a trefa an animal that would have died on its own? So if you did a proper shechita and it happened to have those things already, or you could see that it had something like that already.
Right. So that's one use of the term, but it's not the only use of the term, apparently. Yeah, apparently it could...
Nevela is an animal that died without shechita.
Nevela is an animal that died without shechita, or you did a bad shechita on it.
Right.
Right.
Well, which is one in the same.
Right. But the... Once I do an improper shchita, I've now introduced another element to it.
It's dying without a proper shchita, so therefore it would be nevela.
It's dying without a proper shchita, therefore it is a nevela. Once it's dead, correct. So, who is the author of this Mishnah? Based on our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yesheva agree that if you did the shchita wrong, it's a nevela. So if you split the gargaris, it's a nevela. Why are you calling it a treifa? So three answers in our Gemara. First answer is Rava. Omar Rava lo kasha. Rava says it's not a problem. Kan sheshachat ulubesof pasak. Kan shepasak ulubesof shachat. It depends on what came first. Whether you shechted before you split the trachea, or whether you split the trachea and then you shechted the esophagus. Shachat ulubesof pasak. If first you did a kasher shchita act, Nivselas b'shchita hi. So then it was disqualified in the course of the shchita action, and you're right, it's an avela. Pasak ulubasov shachat, but if first you split it, and then afterwards you did the shchita, ki davar acher garm lali pasal damya, then I view it as something else was what wrecked things, because it was before you ever engaged in shchita. It's like an animal that just stung, had a treifa wound, without you being the one to cause it. So Rava, the answer is, our Mishnah is fine with the Mishnah Nehlu Treifos. They're two different cases. It depends on whether you split the gageras first, or whether you shechted the esophagus first. Eisvei Rav Acha Bar Huna LeRava. Rav Acha Bar Huna says that's very nice, but listen to the following. It said, Shachat es haveshet upasak es hagargeres, pasak es hagargeres, v'achar kach shachat es haveshet nevela. We did not make any distinction in the order. We said either way it's a nevela. So he says, Ema, it should say, Ukvar shachat es haveshet meikara. That it's where you already shechted the veshet before. Instead of v'achar kach shachat, it's and you already shechted. To which the Gemara says, what? Amar lei shtei tshuvos b'davar. There are two answers to that. Chad dahinu kamaisa. In that case, you stated the same case twice. Right? Shacha, it ends up being the same case twice. You shechted the veshet, and then you split the gargeres. Or you split the gargeres having already shechted the veshet. That doesn't make any sense. Ve'od, and further, ha tanya, which it says that it's not, ve'achar kach, that's not what it said. It said, ve'achar kach, not, and you already did, but, and then you did. Those are two different phrases. Ela amar Rava, so Rava says, you're right, fine, but I want to preserve this approach. Elu asuros katani, v'yesh man nevelos, v'yesh man trefos. When it said in the Mishnah, in Paragimel, elu trefos, it didn't really mean all of these are trefos. It meant all these are disqualified, some because it's a nevela, some because it's a trefa. To which he says, well, wait a minute, if you're listing nevelos also, then you should list all nevelos. Then why didn't you also mention Chizkiah's case of a nevela? Damar Chizkiah asa gistera nevela. You cut an animal wide open. Okay, you split it down the middle. That's also a nevela. V'lichshem nami to Rabbi Elazar. You should listen to Rabbi Elazar's comment on nevela. Dom Rabbi Elazar, nitla yerech v'chol al shalah, or v'chol al shalah nikr, depending on your edition, nevela. That if an animal loses its thigh, such that you can already see to the inside, it's also going to be called a nevela, even if, as Rashi says, it's still moving. It doesn't make a difference. So why didn't you list those nevelos? Kikatani nevela de la matama mechayim. Avol nevela de matama mechayim lo katani. To which I could still answer, it's only talking about nevelos that become nevelos posthumously. Not nevelos that communicate tuma while they're still kicking, so to speak. Literally. And the discussion of Pirkus. But the point for us is, Rava's resolution is, that Mishnah is fine with our Mishnah. That Mishnah is talking about where the splitting of the gargaris happened before the shchita of the trachea, and therefore was a foreign influence that caused it, and therefore it's a trefa. And I can resolve all your other sources to make them fit. That was his approach. We didn't like that approach, so he amended it to say, you're right, that part is a nevela, and we have to reread that. We have to reread that Mishnah to say it's not just talking about trefos. That's really answer 1B, I suppose, because he really does change his position. Okay. That's all one answer. Second answer from Reish Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Kan Sheshachat B'Makom Chatach. Kan sheshachat shlo b'makom chatach. It depends on whether you shechted in the spot where the where it had been split, or not. In other words, I continue the shechita in that spot, or I did not. That's what's going to determine it. In other words, in our Mishnah, which said, well, he's going to walk you through it. Shachat b'makom chatach. If you do an act of shechita in the gargeres, in the place where it was already split, then nisla b'shchitahi. Then we call that a disqualified shchita, even though it already had a split. Shalom b'makom chatach. And then it is a nevela, correct. Then that's our case. Shalom b'makom chatach. If, on the other hand, you did your shchita cut in another part of the vessel, kidavar acher garmla lipasal damya, I view this as something which was disqualified by an external issue, and therefore it is a trefa, and that's the case. That's in Parag Gimel. To which the Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Hachi, did Reish Lakish really believe that? The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he said, Shachar as Hakana ve'achakach nikva hareya kshera. If you shech the trachea, and then afterwards a puncture occurs in the lungs being severed from the body at this point because you already shech to the trachea, but something happens to puncture the lung, your animal is still kosher. Alma command mancha bedikula damia. We see that he views the lung as sitting in a basket. It's no longer part of the animal. So hachanami, here too, command mancha bedikula damia. Who cares what you did with your shchita action in the place where it was cut or not? Once it's severed, it's severed. Who cares what you did with your act of shchita? You want to tell me that if the trachea, right, here's the trachea, okay? If the trachea got severed through something else, and then I do a shchita in the same spot, so I view it as a disqualification in the act of a shechita. Whereas if it got severed, and then I did a shechita in a different part, then no, then we're going to call it a trefa. I don't understand. Anything you do after it's already split is irrelevant. The trachea is cut. What kind of game are you playing? So we throw out the second answer. We drop the second answer, so that won't be on the final. And instead, we go to the third answer. Ella Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chia Bar Abba says, citing Rabbi Yochanan, I'll answer you. You know what? Lo kasha, that's no problem. Kan kodem chazara, kan la'achar chazara, u'mishna lo zaza mimikoma. The Mishnah that's in the third parak that lists this as a trefa was Rabbi Akiva's position before he recanted. Then he recanted, and we didn't change the Mishnah. Rashi notes how strange this is, because the one's in the second parak, one's in the third parak. You would think that by the time you hit the third parak, you knew what was done in the second parak. But the truth is, he says, Ein Seder LeMishnah, there is no order to Mishnah. There is, in terms of Stam Ve'achakach Machlokes, sometimes there are order, but in general, this is just being taught in Yeshiva. And then later on, it's put into Prakim. That's why Rashi resolves the problem. So therefore, that was Rabbi Akiva's view. Rabbi Akiva later changed his mind, but that was Rabbi Akiva's view before he changed his mind, and that's how you could render it a trefa. The Gemara that was fascinated by what we brought in the failed answer number two, when we wanted to say that it depends on where you cut it. Did you cut it in the place where the wound was or not? So we made the comment that when you shecht the animal, you cut the trachea, the lung is now considered to be severed from the body, and therefore it can't become a trefa anymore. That's a really interesting point, because it harks back to our earlier discussion about when does the shechita take place. Is the animal called shechted when you first cut the first vessel, or not until you complete the shechita? Very important, because I could argue it's dead from the time I begin my shechita action, and therefore if something happens to damage it such that it should be a trefa, it's not a trefa. And it makes sense, because after all, what greater trefa do you have than an animal that's undergone the first part of shechita? Right? I mean, now you're going to tell me, wait, a wolf came along and bit its leg. Dude, I just cut the trachea. The animal's dead. You may not know it yet, but it didn't die from the bite on the leg. It died from the fact that it has no windpipe anymore. So that's what the Gemara now wants to visit. Gufa. Amar Bishim ben Lakish. Shachar es hakana ve'achar kach nikva hareya kshera. We quote Reish Lakish, who we just cited before, who said that if you shech the trachea and then afterwards the lung gets punctured, the animal is still kosher, it's not a trefa. So Amar Rava, Rava says that's a very limited statement. Lo Amar Bishim ben Lakish ela bireya. Reish Lakish only made his statement regarding the lung. Because once you cut the trachea, the lung is dead. The lung depends on the trachea specifically. But let's say something happened to the innards. The wolf came along and bit the foot. Whatever case you want to bring, that will indeed still render it a trachea, even though you cut the trachea already.
Isn't that problematic, though?
Because?
Well, if you do the bedika, after you shecht it and you find a hole in the lung,
yeah.
When did that hole occur?
Correct, that's going to be a problem. You have to figure it out. You have to be a good bodeg. The maskif la Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera challenges it and says, oh, you need to know what your reyesa was. You saw something come along. Someone who was trying to shoot birds and ended up, his arrow fell into the lung. That's the reyesa. So maskif la Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera challenges and says, wait a minute. Me'achar sheno lubasimane treifa hitarta. Once you're telling me that you permit this, even though it has the sign of a treifa, mali bereya, mali b'mnei me'ayim. Who cares where the treifa wound occurred, whether it's the lung or anything else? Vahadar be Rabbi Zera. But then we think, you know what, maybe Rabbi Zera recanted from his challenge. The deboy Rabbi Zera, because Rabbi Zera asked the following question. Nikvu b'nei me'ayim bein simen l'simen mahu. What if the innards get damaged between the trachea and the esophagus cuts? Mi mitzdarif simen rishon l'simen sheni letara midei nevela olo. Do I say that, look at the fact that you already cut the first one, and combine it with the cutting of the second one to say that it's not an avela or not? The Amrinan, and we said to Rabbi Zera, Lav Hainu Deboy Ilfa, wasn't that Ilfa's question? Ilfa asked the question of Hotzi Uber as Yado bin Simon Lisimon Mahu. What if you're shechting the mother and the mother is pregnant and then the young sticks out his arm between the time when you cut the trachea and the time when you cut the esophagus? Mimit starib simon rishon tapalamagimo, mimit starib simon rishon the simon sheni latara midena vela olo. Will I say that you already cut the first simon and we combine that with the second one that you cut afterwards to say that it's not going to be considered a nevela or not? So Adkan lo boyelana latami de nevela. Rabbi Zera's only thought was, is this a treifa or is this a nevela? Avo b'achila asura. But either way, he's saying it's not kosher, right? So that shows that Rabbi Zera believes that the fact that you cut the first simon doesn't eliminate treifa possibilities. It still could become a treifa. Right, you follow the logic? Rabbi Zera initially had said that once you cut the first simon, it can't become a treifa. Here, he clearly believes it can. To which Amalei Rav Acha Barat LeRavina Dilma LaOlam LaAder Bei. Maybe he didn't recant. Rabbi Zera LeDvarav DeRav Akamar VeLelo Svirulei. Maybe he's only asking within Rava's view when he asks this question, within Rava's view that it's only about the lung and all that. I want to know what he'll do in these cases, but not that it was a question personally of his own. Rabbi Zera may maintain his stance that once you start your shechita, you cut the trachea, nothing is going to render it a treifa thereafter. Rabbi Chaim ben Akash, Shemar Tzikadosh Baruch Hu, L'Zakos, Yisrael, Licha.